o'clock hour with Brian Bulaga. Our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs, we believe in better. The Packer Ranter, who we always enjoy his tweets. They got a safety, and that's always fun. That's a positive. That is fun. But yeah. Also interesting, Brian, in the file this under the unintended consequences, right? When you get a safety, you also get the ball. But generally speaking, as you're kicking off from the, or punting off, really, usually, right? After a safety, you're also going to get good field position out of the ensuing kick to your team. And Matt LaFleur also seemed irritated by that this new kickoff rule, they kicked it off like they normally would, and they didn't get any real advantage out of that. They still lined up like a kickoff under the new rules are, and so it allowed them to cover that kickoff very effectively. They didn't get that bounce out of that deal, which I thought was interesting.
I didn't know that they changed that as well. So that's
I
didn't know that. So that's okay. Well, that's lesson learned now, right? Like, I didn't know that they also changed the rule for the safety, right? I mean, it was normally a punt or whatever, right? It was a punt,
right? From like the 20-yard line. I mean,
it was something totally, which was a huge advantage for the offense, or going to be the offense,
right?
Now it's really not. Like, yeah, you get the 2 points, which is great, but it's, you know, like, you kind of saw, like, is there a real advantage anymore? And guess not.
And they needed all the help they could get.
Changed. Yes, it was not a...
it was a turning point in the game, really.
It was not a... Oh, yeah, huge momentum swing at that point. the 2 points. Now, I mean, if they would have got the sack fumble touchdown, yeah.
Sure.
No, again, all small plays that change the outlook of a game. But, right, but... I mean, getting a two-pointer, and that's all you get on the day?
Not great, Bob. Not great. All right, I want to get to the offensive line conversation. I want to get to the backup quarterback situation because, again, Brian was on those teams in Green Bay in 13 and 17 when Rodgers broke his collarbone. Now, obviously, the 13 season was the year that you missed with your torn ACL, and was 17 also?
I tore my ACL week 8 or 9 in 17. Yeah, my right ACL.
You so and Aaron Rodgers just wanted to spend some extra time together while you were both injured.
Yeah.
So I want to get into that.
Same time, those injuries.
I want to get into that because it was interesting how those two different backup quarterbacks, once Matt Flynn arrived in 13, changed things. And so we'll talk about that coming up. But let's get to more of your positives and many negatives. 844-770-3776. Let's get to Dave in Atlanta. Dave, thanks for holding on so long. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Jason. Thanks so much. To answer your overall general question, you kind of kicked this under the rug because it was their ones, who are pretty good, I think, and underestimated against our twos, which aren't as good as we thought they were as twos.
Good point.
And so that was, come on. I mean, second game, it doesn't count. There's still a lot of player evaluation going on, so that's okay. Positives, you're right, you guys, there aren't many, but a couple of things that I always look for is the starters were up off the bench, standing on the sideline, aggressively rooting on and being involved in the game. To me, those shots of those guys mean a lot, because if they were really just being fat and sassy, they wouldn't have that physical presence. And they were really good supporting their teammates. It looked like the spirit of the team, even though we were kind of sucking. Mm-hmm. That tells me a lot. I thought that was a positive, really.
Dave, that's a great point. Hold on 1 second, because I want you to get to your negative and your other positives, but I wanted to add to that. I thought there was a really good moment where Emmanuel Wilson gets hit. Like, he's going out of bounds. He's kind of wrapped up by two guys. And then a third guy comes and just drills him up high. Doesn't hit him in the helmet. So there was no penalty, but it was kind of an unnecessary hit, basically. And he gets walloped, and Dobbs, Watson, and Reed are the first three there trying to help him up and barking at the guy who hit him. So to your point, I thought that really encapsulated exactly what you were talking about. Now, please continue.
No, you're right. Right, I saw that too. Absolutely, and that means something because the starters realize that they got to stay involved in the game. And if there's a game to sort of mentally take off, it's a preseason game because it doesn't even count. Anyway, another positive. I'm not as down on Clifford as maybe some others are. Some of his throws were quite good and just barely missed. Either a receiver or a timing thing. It's not like he was throwing the ball up in the stands. And Jason, I think your comparison to Matt Flynn is right on the money. There's a lot of, hey, he's pretty good. He may not push you over the edge, but I don't think he totally sucked. And the fact that he didn't direct the team to a touchdown doesn't necessarily, there's 11 guys. Doesn't necessarily mean that was his fault. The offensive line had problems. The receivers were slipping, and they weren't that good. That sort of thing.
I think that's a good point, Dave. Because I do think that there was, and look, I think Sean was part of this because you know he was talk about Trumaning up, as Tausch likes to say. He took more blame than he probably merited after the game. Like he was clearly, and thanks for the call, Dave. He was clearly, Brian, devastated by how he played. He really took it hard. It was his first NFL start, obviously in the preseason, and he wanted to play really well. He's got this reputation like Flynn of being a gamer, and the pick, I think, really ticked him off. Now, LaFleur did say, I think it was Heath that was the intended receiver, who didn't flatten his route enough, so that was probably part of it. The timing was a little bit off. The bottom line is he needed to play better, and he didn't, but I don't know if it's panic time about the backup quarterback job just yet either. We'll get into that a little bit further, but what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, again, Dave kind of said it. Like, it was preseason. It was only the twos. Clifford didn't have any of the ones protecting him. He didn't have any of his one receiver. Like, it's hard. It's so hard to evaluate a backup quarterback when he's not potentially thrown into the situation of being a starter as a backup quarterback in a regular season game, right? You have your entire normal surrounding cast, but you're the one different piece, right? Like Matt Flynn had, and he got to show what he was about when he had those opportunities. He's in there with, potentially guys that may not even be on this roster.
Correct.
Which is difficult to perform at a high level. Now, it's not saying that he couldn't have played better. Yes, he could have. I mean, clearly the whole team could have played better. So, like, I'm not making excuses for anybody, but it's hard to evaluate. And the thing about the backup quarterback position, and again, this isn't like quarterback is obviously the hardest position to play in the field. I will give that to the quarterbacks. But they're a backup quarterback for a reason. Mm-hmm. So if we expect our backup quarterback to perform at the level or close to the level of our starting quarterback, he won't be our backup for too long because someone's going to send a bunch of picks or whatever it may be to acquire that player. And it just doesn't, that's not the way the NFL works, right? You can only really keep one good quarterback and the other guys kind of have to be journeymen or just kind of guys that hold the backup job really well. And then they're solid backups for that reason. So I'm not that panicked about the backup position. I'm just not. It's not something that I'm completely concerned about. I think Clifford, given the opportunity to play with the starting O-line, the running back, the receivers, I think we see a different performance from him. So I'm not too concerned about that right now. I'll just be honest with it.
Yeah, and let's also be realistic here. Michael Pratt didn't play any better. Like, if you're concerned enough about the backup quarterback situation and you don't think Sean Clifford is up to the task, and we'll get into this a little bit more next, but if you don't think he's up to the task, it's not like the rookie seventh-round pick who did not have great pocket awareness on the fumble, airmailed a couple of throws, and I am intrigued by Michael Pratt. His arm is strong. Like, he's got a stronger arm than Clifford. But do I think that if you had to choose tomorrow because Jordan Love gets food poisoning and can't play in Sao Paulo, that you're going to put Michael Pratt ahead of Sean Clifford based on what we saw? No, I don't see that happening. So now if you think you need to go out and maybe find a veteran who's out there looking for backup work, a Matt Hasselbeck type who had been a starter and then is, you know, kind of available, that's a conversation we can have, and we'll have that coming up. But again, I don't think anything that happened merits overreaction. And I would argue that Matt LaFleur's tone after the game, Brian said it, he was messaging to his team. But I also think for those of us that aren't on his team, it sounded a little overreactionary with the way he talked about grit and strain and all the things that they didn't deliver last night. We'll talk more about the backup quarterback situation coming up next. We'll get to more of your calls and texts as well as positives and negatives. 844-770-3776. Want to remind you that while things did not go well for the green and gold last night in Denver, they go well for you if you are a Packers fan banking at Associated Bank, especially if you have Packers checking. Now, you could be a Brewers fan and a Packers fan, and maybe you choose the Brewers checking instead. AssociatedBank.com/Brewers has all the details on the hottest team in baseball, or one of them, and the checking accounts that go with the Brewers. But if you are a Packers fan, at least you would know that despite a bad game last night, you still have the best customer service in the industry. You still get 10% off the Packers Pro Shop in-store and online. And you get all the other great perks that come with being an Associated Bank customer. So go to AssociatedBank.com/Packers to find out more. We'll talk more about the backup quarterback situation and Sean Clifford next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Continuing with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day, cousin subs. We believe in better. All right, Brian, take me back in the time machine. Because you were a rookie in 2010 when Aaron Rodgers got that concussion in Detroit and didn't play in New England. You were out for the season, but you were still obviously paying attention to your team. I don't know if you were there for many. How many of the games did you go to in 13 while you were rehabbing?
I came down here to Florida to continue my rehab at IMG and with the therapist that I chose for the remainder of the season. Then I came back for that really cold playoff game against the 49ers, and then the season was done. So
right.
I was here for about 4 or 5 weeks.
And then obviously
or in Green Bay, sorry.
Right. And then obviously in 17, Rodgers breaks his collarbone again, comes back for that game in Carolina, looked rusty. That one was bad enough that he had to have surgery. I thought he didn't look anything close to who he was. They lose that game. He goes back onto injured reserve. The season's over. But Brett Hundley, not as effective as Matt Flynn had been in that game in New England in 10 and in those games in 13 when he came back. You guys rally for a tie against the Vikings,
yeah.
And then I think he went 2-2, or they went 2-2 with him as the starter thereafter. And the reason I bring this all up is two things. One, you need to have a guy that can get you through games so you can still have a chance to win if you lose your starter. And two, you need to have a guy that the guys on the team believe can get you through games and help you win if the starter's out. How important is that, having been a player, having seen these, because look, Rodgers wasn't the Iron Man Brett Favre, but he was pretty damn durable and played through a lot of injuries himself. How much does it mean, though, to have a guy that you can believe in as a backup? And do guys know when the backup is, I'm not sure I feel great about him?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a clear difference between Aaron Rodgers and anybody else, right? Like, that's – I mean, when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback and someone else comes in, everyone knows there's a difference. But I think you said it. The biggest thing is having a guy that the rest of the team believes in and rallies around and thinks, if we all do our individual little part here, he can get us through this and he can actually play well. And Flynn, we'll start with Flynn. Flynn was a guy that could do that. And we all, I mean, Matt had been around a long time. He was really close with a bunch of guys on the team. People believed in him. We saw him in practice. Listen, no one felt good when Aaron was out of the game. Like, let's just call it what it is. I mean, and it's no slight on Matt Flynn, because, I mean, Matt's a great dude, and I played a lot of snaps when he was behind center. But it's different than having Aaron Rodgers in there.
Right.
It's just what it is. When Aaron's in there, you have a very good idea of where he's going to be in the pocket or his movements and things of that nature. Flynn was a little bit more of a pure pocket passer. He'd stay back there. He wouldn't move much. As a pass blocker, you understood, like, if I give up a little bit of space, there's a chance Matt may not get out of the way. He could be sacked. And you know, it was just a different style of quarterback. But at the same time, we all knew Matt could get the job done. He could complete passes. He could move us down the field. He was confident in his own ability. And with that, when you're a quarterback in the huddle, especially a backup, and you portray that confidence, it goes a long way. And everyone believed in Matt. Fast forward to when Hundley went in, let's just be real. We were bad. We were not a good football team in 17. So, like, to say, like, Hundley was a bad backup or whatever it may be, like, sure, anyone can make their, you know, opinion on it, but we weren't a good team at all. So it's very hard for a guy to perform well when an entire team is not performing well, or we're in a rut and we're not producing or not winning. There's no real, like, momentum to, if Aaron goes out, Hundley comes, like, can we rally around it? Because, like, we were all trying to just rally around getting a win, or at some right. point trying to put a positive performance on the field, and then Aaron's out and Brett has to come in, and it was hard, right? It was tough, and we never found our footing in 17, obviously. Didn't make the playoffs. Aaron got hurt. And 18 went very similar, right? So, like, you just kind of look at the difference of when Flynn got his opportunity and when Hundley did. I mean, the teams were completely different. But Flynn, I mean, obviously Flynn came in and we were playing good. I remember Flynn came in, and what year was that? 2014? Mm-hmm. Aaron left the Detroit Lions game at home for a series or two. Flynn came in, nothing bad. Like, so, like, he was just on a different teams that were playing well, and Aaron happened to get hurt. Obviously, 2013, you know, Aaron and the collarbone and kind of what we were going through, we still made the playoffs. Still a playoff team, if you look at it. But when Brett had his opportunity, we were not playoff team. So,
you might have been. If I think you're a playoff team in 17, even with losing you. If Rodgers plays the whole season, right? Like, he elevates team.
Yeah.
You guys were 4-1, and he throws that. One of my favorite stories is that game in Dallas where you knew Davante Adams was the guy when Rodgers throws incomplete to him on whatever was second down, and Davante comes back and says, let's run that same play, but throw a better ball. You guys go and win the game because he throws a better ball and he catches it for the touchdown. But you're right. You didn't have the roster that could survive without Aaron, as opposed to in 13, where you guys did have some – you were an ascending team again at that point. And we saw it in 14 then, what you guys did, right? So so how do you feel – like, as you're sitting there today, because there is the – you know, we used to joke about overreaction Monday, but – there is the slight overreaction. Sean Clifford sucks. He's not good enough. That I'm getting that from social media. And while I will grant you that he did not play well and he deserves criticism, I am not ready to write him off just yet. And I certainly wouldn't expect the coaches to feel that way. But what did you feel watching him last night?
Yeah, like I'm not there just saying this guy sucks. Like I'm not there with him, right? Like I said earlier, we're expecting to see a performance from a backup QB not surrounded by other high quality starters and talent. So it's very hard to jump. Like, yes, did we want to see a better performance? Sure, of course. Like, we watch the Packers play, and we want everyone to play great, right? Like, we want to see the backups go in and be just as competent as the starters, and like, that's what we all want to see, but that's not the reality of it. So I'm not that down on Clifford as of right now. Like, I'm not there with that, because I feel like, if given the opportunity potentially with more starters, or, you know, maybe half the starters, or maybe just the offensive line and the running backs, like maybe if you give him that, he has more time, he feels more comfortable in the pocket, there's a run game to go along with it. Like, it looks more complete, and mm-hmm. he's not trying to force things, and he's not hurried, and he's not, you know, running around. Like, there's it looks better, and when it looks better for us on TV, I can assure you it looks better for him in the pocket and looking downfield and what he's seeing as well. So I'm not there yet. Yes, I want to see him perform better. I want to see him play better. I get all that, but I am not just, we got to get rid of him, we got to find someone else, because like you said in the last segment before we signed, who are you going to go find? Like, that's my question. Like, who are you going to go find right now to plug in as the backup? I mean, I'm just being told, like, there's not great quarterbacks just hanging out at the house like I am in my office to wait to get a call. Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, Flacco last year with the Browns was like an anomaly. Like, what? Like, you bring in Flacco and now all of a sudden you're a playoff team? Like, it just doesn't happen that way. So I'm not just completely giving up on Clifford. I think, given the right opportunities, I think he could get the job done. Am I saying that he's going to go out and win us 10 games? No, I'm not. I'm definitely not saying that. But in a pinch, or if something were to happen, if Jordan Love's shoestring broke, yeah, I'd feel fine with him going in the game for whatever amount of time it took the training staff or the equipment staff to get him a new shoelace to do what he needed to do. And that's the way I look at it.
All right, I do have a name for you that I will give you next, and I'll ask you what you think of it, because this guy is kind of doing the same thing you're doing now, although with the, you know, with the shape you're in now, you'd have to come back as a tight end, not as a left tackle or a right tackle, but we'll get to that coming up. All right, Jesse, are you going to try and do your Tausch imitation to tell us about Coors Light? Is that what you're planning on doing?
I'm going to try. You ready for it?
All right, let's I'm going to be quiet. Brian is going to judge whether or not this sounds anything at all like Tausch, a little bit like Tausch, or spot on like Tausch, all right? Here we go.
All right.
Mark Tauscher here for the Blue Mountains of cold, refreshing Coors Light. And, I could tell you I needed one last night watching the Pack lose 27-2 out where those Blue Mountains are in Denver, Colorado. Whether you're celebrating your favorite team winning, like a certain baseball team in Milwaukee, or you just need a moment to chill, crack open a Rocky Mountain Cold Coors Light. Coors Light brewed with a three-step cold process. Cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it's actually made to chill. The mountains on Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans turn blue when chilled to perfection, which, besides the refreshing taste, is my favorite thing about drinking Coors Light. Refreshingly cold and only 102 calories, Coors Light is made to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
Brian, your thoughts?
I thought it was pretty good. I don't know if it's exactly like Tausch, but I think it was pretty good.
Cadence, for sure. The way he says things. His voice doesn't sound like Tausch's, but he's got the cadence down, I think.
A Golden.
Yep,
that's big.
the cold brewed, cold filtered, cold packet, like that was very good. Like how you rattled that off really quick, like he does. So I'll give you that. That was good. I like that.
Thank you, Mr. Bulaga.
Well done, Jesse. See, you get compliments when Tausch isn't here. All right, I'm going to give Brian a name as a guy that's sitting around his house, taking his kids to probably soccer practices like Brian, who theoretically, if they wanted to go this direction, could be a backup option. We'll see what Brian thinks of it when I tell him next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
We still got a bunch of things we want to get to. We're always excited when Brian is here as our cousin sub of the day, Brian Bulaga. I want to get a little more of a discussion about the offensive line. And specifically, I know you haven't done your thorough breakdown yet, but I'm wondering if Andre Dillard is at least trending toward, okay, maybe we're okay with him as a swing tackle or not. We got to talk about the kickers. Because when you don't do anything offensively, it limits your opportunities to take a look at the kickers. So basically, you got to see Anders Carlson put a kickoff in the end zone, which is a no-no now. And you got to see Greg Joseph miss a 47-yard field goal, where I think in a rare instance, it was so far wide right that by the time it finally got past the goalposts, it was out of the TV screen. So that's not ideal. So we need to talk about them. But first, here's the name that I had out there. Now, again, I have no idea if they would do this. I wouldn't think, given what Goody's track record is, that he would be interested in a guy who's 36 years old. But he's sitting at home, maybe even in your neighborhood. I don't know where he lives when he's not playing for the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill.
Hmm.
He's available.
See, and he has a background with LaFleur.
See what I'm saying?
LaFleur was his OC.
Yeah?
Yeah, LaFleur was his OC. Okay, that's not a terrible option if he wanted to play, right? And you don't know what that would cost, I guess. Right. And obviously, Goody is not looking... I can imagine is not looking to add a backup quarterback for over $2 million. I could take a really good estimated guess at that. So it would all be, I mean, obviously desire to play is one, and two, what the salary would be. I mean, those are the things that I would look at. But like if we found out tomorrow that Tannehill's being signed with the Green Bay Packers, I wouldn't hate it. I wouldn't hate it. So, yeah, you prove me wrong. Yes, there is somebody that I would be fine with if they signed a quarterback that's hanging out at the house right now. So, yes.
But let's be honest. Every other team that is having doubts about their backups is thinking the same thing. Like, he's the one guy, right? He's the one guy.
Yeah.
That you could, you know, and look, I know the Browns have a overabundance of backup quarterbacks, right? The Broncos yep. aren't going to keep, I don't think, Jared Stidham and obviously Bo Nix, their first round pick, and Zach Wilson. I don't know if you really want Zach Wilson as your backup quarterback either, but that's neither here nor there. I mean, there are going to be guys that are coming available. That 13 season. When you guys eventually got Matt Flynn, you guys cut both of your backup quarterbacks and brought in Seneca Wallace to be the backup and brought in yep. Scotty Tolzien, who I love. But Scotty Tolzien
and Seneca Wallace spent training camp with other teams. And lo and behold, that was the year that Rodgers gets hurt. So I don't know. I don't know how realistic it is. I don't know how urgent it is. And to your point, like if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I made a lot of money already. I don't need to go to work. Maybe I want to go to soccer games and hang out with my family, and I don't necessarily feel that itch unless somebody loses a starting quarterback, and then they're like, I don't like our backup option. Now I'm going to call Ryan Tannehill. That's what I'd be holding out for if I was him. So I don't think this is going to happen. I don't think the Packers need to do it, and maybe somebody else is willing to pay him more. But I thought it would be fun to talk about, which is really all I'm looking for on this show.
Yeah, and you know what? And you're right. Like, we don't know what's going to happen at cuts, right? We don't know who's going to become available or what's going to happen, and who it. Like you said, if Green Bay is in a sense of urgency mode at that position, and if they are, probably more inclined to see who pops up on the waiver wire once cuts start happening would be my guess. And they could go from there. But I don't think that that's a position that Goody, after just doing this deal, is really looking to get back into with potential, like you said, a veteran that you have to convince with, let's just be real, with money to come out of retirement, or I don't even know if he's in retirement, but to come from home to be your backup. So I would expect either they stay with Clifford, like I've said, or like you said, they wait to see what happens post cut, you know, after this last preseason game, to see if that's a route that they want to take.
I think that when you have so much durability, and look, in fairness to Jordan Love, he was durable last year too. I don't want to short shrift him. Now he's only done it for 1 year. But when you have Favre, who never missed a game, when you have Rodgers, who plays through a broken bone in his knee in 18, who plays with a separated throwing shoulder in 08, played on a broken foot in 06 until they finally x-rayed it. I mean, he was tough. Not as tough as Favre, but damn tough. And I think Jordan Love, hopefully that toughness doesn't get tested, and he doesn't have to play through a significant injury. But I just don't think now's the time to hit the panic button. So, all right, I want to do need it or don't need it coming up next with Jesse. So if we're going to do that, presented by Fleet Farm, I think we need to get another Jesse imitation in with Jesse acting like he's Tausch talking about his prize picks. Are you have you used up all your Tauschosity, or do you have more Tausch, for lack of a better term, in you left, Jesse?
I think I've got one more in me, if you're okay with it. Here we go. Mark Tauscher here for Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Unlike other apps, it's just you against the numbers. All you have to do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Prize Picks is the only real money daily fantasy platform with an injury insurance policy, so that your lineups stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. If your player leaves in the first half and doesn't return Prize Picks, your money, your picks are still live. Prize Picks invented the flex play, which means you can still cash out if your lineup isn't perfect. Last night, 3 for 4. You know, old T had a good night. You can have a good night too. You can double your money even if one of your picks doesn't hit. Download the Prize Picks app today. Use the code WI and get $50 instantly when you play 5. That's code WI on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play 5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks. Run your game.
Thanks, Tausch.
You're welcome.
Need it or don't need it, presented by Fleet Farm, is next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Give me scars, give me pain, then the same me, same me, same me. There goes the fire.
Jesse and I were experimenting with our Tausch imitations. Yes, sir! That's a Tauschism. We miss him. He'll be back tomorrow, though, right, Jesse, as far as we know?
Allegedly. You never know.
Which day are you taking off this week?
None that I know of, but, you know.
Could change.
Things happen.
Could definitely change. All right, time for Need It or Don't Need It, presented by Fleet Farm. Of course, Fleet Farm has everything you need for your everyday life. And right now at Fleet Farm, they've got their free Touch a Truck and Back to School Craft event coming up on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can bring the family out for hands-on learning about their favorite service vehicles and have a fun and creative school bus crafting activity as well. And, of course, you can always shop the best prices guaranteed in-store and online at fleetfarm.com. They always give you the best price any day, every day. Shop all the savings across the store for your everyday essentials. And if you somehow find a lower price, they will match it. Learn more about that and about Touch a Truck, the event that's going on Saturday at fleetfarm.com/events. Time now for Need It or Don't Need It.
Need It? I guess you're just what I need. Or Don't Need It. Presented by Fleet Farm. Remember, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, then you don't need it. Fleet Farm, serving the Midwest since 1955.
Reactions following last night's Packers 27-2 preseason loss to the Denver Broncos in this Need It or Don't Need It. First up, Need It or Don't Need It, Brian Bulaga. Does Jordan Love need to play in the Packers' final preseason game this weekend against the Baltimore Ravens?
Don't need it. Don't need it. If the rest of the starters happen to play a series or a couple snaps, I'm fine with it. He does not need it. There's absolutely no need to risk him in the final preseason game.
I don't think he needs it either. Remember, I'm bubble wrap Ted Thompson guy, RIP. But, man, if you believe that it impacts how you're going to play in the opener, then if you're Matt LaFleur, then you do have to play him, right? If that's your argument. If your argument is, we were really good against the Bears because Jordan played in all three preseason games last year, then you have to say, well, I got to take the risk, I guess. So we're ready for Philly. I don't agree. I don't think that there's a direct link between getting your butts kicked in Jacksonville and play against the Saints and Aaron Rodgers and company not starting in the preseason and beating the Bears the way you did in last year's opener. I don't believe that. But Matt LaFleur has said publicly that he does believe there's a connection. If that's what you believe, then those guys have to play on Saturday. We'll see if he actually does it. Next.
Next up, need it or don't need it. Jason, you first on this one.
Ooh, I never get to go first.
Does A.J. Dillon still need to prove he belongs on the Packers 53-man roster in the next week?
I don't know if I like going first, quite frankly. I thought it was really interesting that A.J. Dillon didn't play. Because that, to me... Because I thought it for sure he was going to play, right? Like, I thought for sure they were going to want to see him. And maybe he even, you know, if you feel good about him, maybe he gives you a little bit of a bump for that number one-ish offense that has no starters on it. So when he was among the guys that were ruled out right away, boy, oh boy, does that mean that they feel, maybe they view him as the number two and there's no question in their mind? Which then leads me to the next question, which is, you obviously have to keep Marshawn Lloyd because he's a third-round pick. So unless you're going to keep him on the roster for the first day and then IR him with this hamstring, you're not going to keep four running backs on the 53 when you're keeping 16 wide receivers or whatever you're doing. So, Brian, I was surprised, and I am going to read that as, we know what A.J. Dillon is, and we believe he's going to be our number two running back. Am I wrong to read it that way?
Nope. I read it the exact same way. When I saw his name on that inactive list, I was like, well, kind of like the Sean Ryan thing where he's playing. They're pretty much telling us what they're doing. This is, to me, the exact same thing. Because I thought, like you, he was going to get reps. and at least maybe a series, right? At least something.
Right.
And when I saw he was out, they pretty much told everyone he's our number two, and we're seeing the battle for who's going to be our true number three, and that's the way I read that.
Next up, needed so or go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say technically I got to answer the question. Don't need it because the decision's been made.
Sorry, I'm not used to everybody actually answering the questions I ask around here, so that was a nice change of pace to come back
well,
to.
Well, I had to. This is my first time playing this game, so I got to answer.
I appreciate it. Oh, it's
next time he'll snub it just like Tausch does.
Truly the spirit of the game. I'm flattered. Next up, need it or don't need it, Brian Bulaga, back to you. Do the Packers still need to consider bringing in another outside kicker to compete for the starting job?
Don't need it. I just, at this point, I don't know what bringing in another kicker's gonna do. We already have no idea which way this battle is leaning or who's winning or who hasn't. Like, we already, like, if you bring in another kicker, it's gonna muddy the water. At some point, they need to give confidence to one of these guys and let them feel like they won a position battle and that they have something going into week one. Because if you just continue to bring guys in during camp when it is a competition, both guys are going to start feeling like, well, clearly I'm not good enough or I'm not doing my job. So you got to start giving one of these guys confidence and the feeling that they are going to be the guy. So to me, it's a don't need it.
I think it's a need it, but they're not going to be able to bring anybody in, so it's a not going to do it. Because here's the deal. So they brought in this kid who was the best kicker in the UFL this spring, Jake Bates, for a tryout. They did not sign him. He tried out for the Lions. The Lions signed him. Then their incumbent kicker got hurt. They cut another kicker that they had, James Turner, who the Packers then subsequently picked up as the number three guy for a little while, and then they cut him. But Jake Bates, I saw him. I don't know why I watched this much preseason football. I had a few things to do around the house, so it was on. But I saw Jake Bates kick a game-winning field goal in Kansas City. It wasn't as sexy as the behind-the-back pass that Patrick Mahomes threw, but he hit one with the game on the line, even if it's a game that doesn't count in the standings. They didn't sign him when he came for a workout in Green Bay. Now he's going to be the Lions kicker. This is the kind of stuff. They've made their bed. I think they're going to have a hard time finding anybody who is significantly better than the two that they have. So I think this is going to end up being Ty goes to the incumbent and the draft pick. Anders Carlson ends up being back. Greg Joseph did not help himself by having the only kick in the game and missing it. And Greg Joseph has made game-winning kicks with the Vikings, which is not something that Anders Carlson has actually done. He did have the go-ahead kick in Carolina after they blew that lead last year on Christmas Eve. But
it is gone!
I think they're stuck. I think they're stuck with whichever one they end up choosing. Done.
Yep.
Bonus question, need it or don't need it. Do we need to admit the Broncos uniforms were pretty cool? I thought they looked pretty sharp.
I'm hearing
last
a lot
night.
Of this today.
I thought they looked good. I thought the Broncos looked good. I thought their unis were pretty nice.
Just nice little upgrades in different places, right? Just modernizing, just a little.
Would Tausch say they were sleek like Gina Della?
Yeah, they got some good things going on.
Yeah. All right, that is needed or don't need it, presented by Fleet Farm. All right, we can't have Brian as a cousin sub of the day. Especially when I'm being told you're not on the Homer Hour tonight, which means I'm with the old man during my segment on my own, which he'll have to work during my segment on Monday as opposed to normally.
He has to talk. Yeah, he has to talk now.
So we need to get to some tackle talk because I really want to get Brian's thoughts on what he saw, especially from Andre Dillard. They gave Kadeem Telfert all kinds of opportunity, both at left and right tackle last night. We'll talk. It'll be tackle talk to kick off the 11 o'clock hour with Brian Bulaga, our cousin sub of the day. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.